You know why it's dangerous? Because there's two ways to sing a song like that. You can sing the words, like you're just singing a song on the radio as you're driving down the road, with your mind kind of engaged in other things. It's dangerous to sing words like that without your life engaged. Or you can picture yourself before the living God, you drawing near to Him and opening up your whole life to Him. And as the song says, surrendering all. God, my life is yours. That's why we're here today, to come before the Lord. You know, early after I was saved many years ago, I was saved, but I was struggling. The Christian life for me early on was a duty, and it was an obligation. That's what it felt like. I was so thankful for the cross and the promise of heaven, but I was struggling to grasp what it all meant right now in my life. Really struggling. I believed I was saved, but I did not feel, it's a dangerous word, but an important word, I did not feel close to God. Then one day, reading a simple, single verse from the Bible, my whole world was changed. The trajectory of my spiritual journey took a sharp turn. And I'll never forget it, and I'll never be the same. I hope as you're sitting there, you're curious. Let me set up John 17 by reading the first two verses and then ending with verse 3, which was the verse that hit me that day. This is Jesus' prayer, and he says, before he goes to the cross, Father, the time has come. He's getting ready to go to the cross. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. It's time for glory to shine. It's time for you to be glorified through me. That's what Jesus is saying to the Father. For you granted him, meaning Jesus, me, authority over all people, that he, the Father, might give eternal life to those you have given him. The time has come for eternal life to be purchased. And then I kept reading in this verse. I'd read it many times before. I've even preached on it before, but I circled back around to this verse from time to time because it's so critically important. And verse 3 says, now this is eternal life. This thing that you've sent me to provide, to give to the people that you have given me, what is this eternal life? That they, the people, may know you. This is eternal life, that they may know you. If you're reading that in your bulletin sleeve, I want you to circle that word, know. Know you, the only true God. There isn't multiple gods. There's multiple religions, but there's only one true God, the God of creation and the God of salvation, that they may know you and Jesus Christ, your Son, whom you have sent. If you're following along on the insert, the definition of salvation is knowing God through Jesus Christ. Now, this isn't rocket science, but I sure love what this says. I love it that it says here that Jesus in this prayer reminds us and clarifies for us a great misunderstanding. That eternal life is not defined as a time span, but as a relationship. Oh, that is so critically important. And that is the thing that changed the trajectory of my Christian life. Not a time span, but a relationship with God and with Christ. Always before that time, my relationship with God, it felt, to be honest with you, more like a history class. Now, I did okay in school, not great. And I did a little better in history class than I did in some of my other classes. I found it a little bit more interesting to learn facts and figures about some pretty interesting people in the past who had maybe shaped the course of our nation and that kind of thing. But my Christianity felt like a history class. Like something I was just studying and learning information about. It felt more, you know, it felt more like my relationship with Abraham Lincoln than it did my relationship with Lisa. If that makes sense. Because you see, there's two kinds of knowing. This is the second point on your outline. There's two kinds of knowing. And the question I want to pose to you this morning and try to unpack a little bit is, do you know God or do you just know about God? That's the two kinds of knowing. The history course knowing is the learning facts and figures. And I did all kinds of Bible studies and I was learning all kinds of information about this ancient figure Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago. But I did not know, as in an intimate relationship, that Jesus. This word know in John 17:3, where Jesus says eternal life is knowing God and knowing Christ. This word know, and I've told you this in the past, but this is one I keep coming back to because you really got to get this. This term know is the term that describes the spiritual and physical union between a husband and a wife. It is the most intimate of knowing. And God says, Christ says, this is what eternal life is. It is having that kind of intimate union and knowing of God. And so I just got to ask you again this morning, people, you've been in church your whole life, most of you, but do you intimately know God? Are you comfortable in His presence? When you sing songs like we closed with, are you comfortable opening up your heart and surrender to Him? Does your life belong to Him, or are you just going through the motions? That's where I was at, and that's the turn that this verse, it gripped me. You see, eternal life, it the way Jesus defines it, it's already started for you. If you've placed your faith in Christ, it starts at the moment of conversion. Because eternal life, listen, is not strumming harps on clouds after you die forever in some eternal, boring worship service in the sky. Teresa was telling me this week, she was talking to somebody that was kind of saying, you know, this whole stuff about, eternal life. Well, I kind of like my life right now. I'm more comfortable with it. I want it to just keep going. I mean, You know, and that's how a lot of us feel. We feel like this life somehow is just way, way better than what we understand heaven's going to be like. And we're going to cover some of that when we get to that next series. But the point of Jesus is that this union with God, this connecting to the source of meaning and purpose and really living starts now in Christ. And I want you to hear God's invitation freshly this morning to you to enter in to that. When this happened for me, when I said it changed the direction of my life, I'm serious. Everything changed. Now, the things I was doing didn't necessarily change. I was going to church before that, and I was saying prayers before that, and I was singing worship songs before that, but the underneath motive changed. Worship changed from duty to delight. Not what words am I singing, but am I singing them to the Lord? Am I seeing Jesus? My prayer life changed from a dry monologue, just me talking to God, and that talk was usually, here's my list, to a dynamic dialogue, two-way, Him speaking to me and me responding back to Him. Gathering with other believers changed. It went, again, from a classroom study to entering together into the presence of the Lord and encourage one another, not to duty, but to dynamic faith. John 17, I circled that word. I studied that word, know, that they may know you. And I started to look for other places that had that same idea. And that led me to Philippians 3, where Paul described his life mission. Talk about two kinds of knowing. Paul highlights this relational knowing, starting in verse 7. He says, but whatever was my profit before I came to Christ, whatever was my profit, again, Paul, most religious man on the planet, most successfully religious man on the planet, he had it all going on. He says, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss. All of that religious stuff, loss, compared to the surpassing greatness of, here it is, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. When Paul got saved, all his former relationships got broken off. Totally rejected. I lost all things. But I consider them rubbish. All of that old stuff, all of that religion, I consider it rubbish. Now you all know what that really is talking about, right? Rubbish is sometimes translated dung. You know what dung is, right? We'll just stop there. But that's how he viewed his former religious life. He traded it all in for a relationship with God through Christ. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own. That's what religion was trying to do, give Him His own righteousness before God. He traded that in. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from faith, from God and is by faith, He traded all that in for the righteousness of Christ. And then here's the verse that really got me. And this is really one of my life verses and what I want to preach to you this morning, where Paul then declares, I desire to know intimately Christ. It's the longing of his heart, the passion of his life, and the power of his resurrection. And that includes the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that I can do this end goal somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. He moved from religious duty to intimate relationship. And friends, this morning, this is the invitation of Jesus to you. He's saying to you, dear child, my love for you is pouring out, gushing out like a living waterfall. It's just flowing, and I'm inviting you to come on in. Experience my love. Be changed by my love. I heard this illustration years ago, and in my heart and in my mind, I come back to it from time to time, and I think I even gave it once a long time ago, and the original time I heard it, I just got to confess, it was by Tony Evans, who's an African-American pastor who I love and who I will not be able to give this illustration the same way he does, but I'm gonna try it. But he compared our relationship to experiencing the love of God to the Niagara Falls. And he says, some of us are like when you're across the street from the Niagara Falls at the hotel, and you can kind of hear it, the roar of it off in the distance. And that's how some of us are with the love of God. We know it's there. We can read about it, you know, in the Word, but it's kind of far off. And others are like when you cross the street and you're on the high overlook, and you're a lot closer to it now. In fact, it's moved from just hearing about it. Now you can see it with your eyes. You can see the wonder and the beauty of the fall. And some of us have gotten that close. We've gotten saved, and it's gotten a little more exciting. But he says, what you need to do is you need to get down on the Maid of the Mist, which is the boat that takes you out underneath, close to the fall, where you are under it and you see it coming down and you feel it spraying all over you. Friends, that's the invitation of Jesus to you this morning. Get out of the hotel. Leave the overlook and come down and open your heart wide to the love of Jesus. Be consumed by it. Be saturated by it. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul prays for us. And this verse won't be on the screen. I kind of added this late. But this is from Ephesians 3. It's my favorite prayer in the Bible. And I'm going to read it from the Message translation, where Paul prays this for the church. And just think about this. He says, when he's talking about the love of God, he says, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. And I ask Him, talking about you believers, to strengthen you by His Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask Him that with both feet firmly planted on love, His love, you will be able, and here's the heart of the prayer, you will be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. That's my prayer, that you'd be able to take it in. So reach out and experience the breadth of His love. Test its length, plumb its depths, rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. You pray like that? Oh, Jesus, I open my heart wide to the flow, the reality of your love, the love demonstrated on the cross that now continues to flow out through eternity. The Scriptures describe the Holy Spirit as pouring the love of Jesus into our hearts. That is that entity in us that is where our thoughts and our choices and our will comes from. And the love of Jesus, imagine influencing all of that like never before. Now back to Philippians 3 real quick to get the rest of that passage. And the last point on your outline, number 3, the goal of salvation. Paul gets to this, and I'm going to describe it this way. The goal of salvation, once you're saved, is this: growing in your knowing. Because after Paul declares, I want to know Christ, which really ought to make you curious, here's Paul, the great apostle, who at this point has already been a missionary and planted churches and been like the most prominent believer on planet Earth. And he's saying, I want to know Christ. But he admits, as we pick up in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, he repeats it, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I think what Paul is saying is this issue of knowing Christ, which is the passion of the Christian's life, it isn't this thing where that you completely get it all perfect the day you get saved. That's the gun that starts the race. And I think what Paul is saying is, there, the further down into this love and this reality of Jesus I get, the more I realize there's way more to go. There's way more to experience. There's way more to learn. There's way more of me to be transformed and changed by it. And so there is a growing that needs to happen in this deepening knowing. So I want to finish the message today. I want you to turn your bulletins over, and I just want to start giving you ideas where I got with this message. So your little sheet, if you're filling stuff out, there should be a blank backside. Here are some things I just want to encourage you. I just asked myself, okay, Lord, what have been the things that have helped me lately grow deeper in my experience of the knowing of God and experiencing the love of Christ? So we're going to just get real practical here so you can jot down ideas that help you. Some of you tell me over and over again, I just cannot read the Bible. I fall asleep, I get bored, I don't understand. Well, here's a few ideas. Every one of you, most of you nowadays have smartphones. Even all you retired folks, I see you gradually more and more, you're getting the smartphone. You go on and you put the YouVersion, Y-O-U version. You Google YouVersion. It's an app for your phone, and you can have this little app. I have it on my phone and it comes up, and I can listen to the Bible in any translation I want at the touch of my finger on my phone. And I do this a lot. And sometimes I combine reading with listening. I find that if I let the guy on the phone read, he keeps going and I just follow along, and it just, for me, it helps. And sometimes I just close my eyes and I listen. And I'll listen to the same passage in like three different translations. Some of you are better learners through listening than reading. That's the way God made you. You need to start doing it that way more. And it's so easy. Used to, you had to get those clumsy cassette tapes and put them in and try to find the place that you know you want. No, it's all right here at the touch of a button. You can go to any book of the Bible, any verse, start wherever you want, and it's just so easy, but you got to do it. Something for me this last year, I mentioned I read that one passage from the Message. This is my New Testament translation of the Message. It's just this guy, Eugene Peterson. He actually just died this last year, Bible scholar. He kind of went through the scriptures and you know, all Bible English translations, they're translations. And he just went through and it's just a very easy to read, beautifully written translation. You look through this, every page is underlined. I've read through the New Testament this year on this, and it's just been like a breath of fresh air. But you're never going to get into Jesus if you don't get in to the Word of Jesus. I put an app on the Facebook page this morning for a new television series called The Chosen. And they've got season one done of the life of Jesus, and it's the most delightful presentation of the life of Christ that I've seen in a long, long time. It really gives Jesus, a lot of them, he literally has no personality. And this one is not like that. It presents Jesus as having a sense of humor and just this dynamic personality. And it's done in like a TV series. And you can watch it. It's free. And I've watched it a while back, and it was just very refreshing. Something else you can do. The Chosen. This is going to be a little bit embarrassing for me, but I'm going to admit, every year, once a year, I listen or read the Chronicles of Narnia, written for children. C.S. Lewis wrote these books for his 12-year-old niece many, many years ago, and they are just delightful. And it's fiction, but it points to the reality of God and the love of Christ and the story of the good news. I listen to it all the time, and it just delights my heart. Some other ideas about prayer. Let's talk about prayer for a minute. We got to just stop giving our list to God. And so here are some practices that have been meaningful to me. Practice the process of drawing near to God in prayer. We just sang these songs about surrendered life. You got to turn that song into your personal prayer where you come before God and say, God, here I am. My whole life, my thoughts, my decisions, my marriage, my school, my friendships, here it is. I want it all to honor you, so I bring my life to you. It's a life of surrender. And how about this one? A life of seeking the presence of God. Oh God, I need you so desperately. I need to hear your voice. I need to feel your touch. I need to experience your love. Not as words read in a book, but as the reality of it pouring into my heart. Seeking God. The practice of confession of sin and receiving grace. Some of us sitting in here today have not confessed a sin before God in 5 years, or maybe ever. You cannot experience the presence of God without confession of sin. And so part of our lives is just getting real with God. God, you already know what I did. You know what I said. You know what I thought. You know where my heart's at. But God, so I offer that. I confess it before you. And in that confession now, I receive your forgiveness and your grace and your restoration. Restoration to what? to fellowship with God, to intimacy with God. At it. Do it. How about the practice of keeping a thank you God list? You struggling? Just write down the things that you're thankful for and then take that list and offer it to God in prayer. Don't just write it down and keep it on the paper. Offer it to God. Thank you, Lord, for these things, for these blessings. Not everything is a blessing, God. My life's got a lot of things that don't feel like blessings, but God, these are blessings. And these things that aren't blessings, you might find that there's some hidden blessing in those trials. And finally, practice open in the Word. I mentioned this last week, but this is something that has really been important to my prayer life, turning prayer into a dialogue where I take God's Word and I read it just kind of meditatively and just like, God, what are you saying to me? There's so much of God's Word that's very practical and very pointed. But God, why do you have me reading this particular passage today? And what is this revealing to me about you or about me? And God, speak to my heart through your Spirit as I look at your Word today. That's God's voice speaking to me. I believe God's Holy Spirit works powerfully when we open our hearts to His Word that way. And then I respond back to God in response to that Word in prayer. How about this one? Practice replacing defeated self-talk with God's promises. You know what I'm talking about? You know those voices in your head pulling you down, pushing you wrong directions? You got to replace that with God's Word. Lisa was telling me, cross country meet the other day, this little girl that got first place for our team had always been a back runner, and all of a sudden she ran to the front. And Lisa, we were cheering her at the end and congratulating her, and Lisa was talking to her, and the girl said, well, she said, I decided not to listen to the voices. I don't think she was making a deep theological point at that point, but it's real for all of us. The voice is, you can't do this. You're not good enough. God doesn't really love you. You gotta not just let those recordings go undealt with. You gotta deal with them with the Word of God, with the truth of God, and with the love of God. Wait a minute. Whoa, that's a lie. That's not how God feels. That's not what God says. This is what God says. He loves me and He is at work in my life. And he's taking those broken pieces of me and kind of putting them back together. And those sinful parts He's redeeming. And He wants to use me for His glory. Some of us need a complete identity transformation in our minds. How about this? Practice, this is based on a book I read a while back called The Jesus Creed, but basically the application is this. You know the great commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How about for 2 straight weeks, get up every single morning, and before you get out of bed, say, God, today I'm going to love you with all my heart. And God, I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Show me how to love you today, to demonstrate that love, and show me how to love those around me with your love. That's my commitment today. Get into that rhythm. So, those are some ideas. Those are some things that have helped me. Know God more deeply. And you can do this. You know, this thought occurred to me. I'm going to close with this. Some of you retired folks, your generation, and this isn't mean-spirited, but I know your generation. I'm just one behind you. But your generation in church world kind of were taught subtly that it was the pastor's job to kind of stand between you and God. And he was the professional Christian that was supposed to, you know, that's a lie. The invitation of God for your generation, imagine, I mean, this is it. This is your final stage of the life journey. Imagine entering more deeply into God's love than you've ever experienced before. And you come to know God, not through Pastor Mike, and I'm going to keep teaching you and praying with you and pastoring you and all of that. But this is every believer is the priesthood of believers. Every believer is invited to know God through Christ personally. To enter into that love personally. And that's my prayer for you. And you can do these things. But they will never accidentally happen. They call these practices I've described spiritual disciplines. Practices that you have to choose to enter into. You can do these things. In John 15, Jesus says to you, "You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Friends of God, let's pray together. Father, we thank you and praise you for the invitation. Maybe this morning I haven't said anything brand new. Honestly, no pastor has in many, many years. We're going back into the Word. We're trying to bring out the realities of your living Word. And I've tried to do that today with something that's very dear to my heart, with something that I wish more than anything that I could grow deeper in, and I commit my heart to that. And that the good folks here would come to know you more deeply. And maybe today represents a turn where we turn away from Christian stuff as a duty and God as a far off, distant. The whole point of Jesus is that it's up close and personal, that it's a real relationship. There really is a waterfall of your love that's available to us to get under, to know you more deeply, to experience you, not perfectly, but growingly. And so, Lord, my prayer is that we would grow in our knowing of you through deeper prayer, through deeper worship, through deeper obedience, through deeper love. God, pour yourself into us through Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.